Welcome to Acts of Kitchen, the fortnightly podcast of food and cooking stories. My name's Alex, and this fortnight I've been all a bit tired and sad, and cooking hasn't been very inspiring. That said, I did have a bunch of vegetables I needed to deal with this past weekend, so I decided to do future me a favour and cook it all up. So I stewed some apples, they're now in the freezer. I made a Thai-inspired pumpkin soup, which is also now all in the freezer. I made borscht, courtesy of a new recipe book I'll mention in a moment, because I had a couple of beetroot from my veggie box that needed cooking, and a couple of beetroot from my garden as well. And because I had a bunch of spinach, I found this recipe from Ottolenghi's Plenty for broad bean burgers, which has a bunch of spinach along with potato and broad beans, and I happen to have a packet of frozen broad beans in the freezer. So it all took a few hours and my feet hurt afterwards, but I think future me will be grateful. So this borscht recipe, it was courtesy of a cookbook called Palomar. Apparently, Palomar is this hottest new thing ever in London, a restaurant that only seats about 34 people, and someone told me it has a waiting list that's like 6 months long. The food seems to be an eclectic mix of Middle Eastern influences. The book itself is beautifully designed, and it's written in a fairly approachable style. I have to say that so far the few recipes I've tried haven't actually won me over. Now, a couple of those were my fault, because I made changes that I thought would work and they didn't, so I'm willing to wear those. A couple of others, though, have just fallen flat. Now, as I said, I've been a bit tired and sad recently, so I'm not going to actually review a book in that state of mind, because it really wouldn't be fair. And I'm certainly holding out some hope for the borscht. It's going to have kreplach, I think is how you say it, which are small dumplings, apparently, in it, like boiled in it. And the kreplach will be filled with labneh and za'atar, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. And there's also some desserts that I'm rather ambitiously looking forward to. Speaking of looking forward to, this fortnight's interview is with Andrew, a man dedicated to the art of pastry and making fruity, nutty tarts. Andrew, I think that every time I've seen you for the last couple of months, there's been tart involved.
Indeed. Of the food variety.
Of the food variety, yes, that's right. So I want to start with, why do you make tarts?
Well, I started making desserts. And so lemon tart, lemon pie, mousse was really my thing. And that's mostly because my wife loves making a main course.
Right.
So I was left with, what else can I do?
So you're designing to complement.
Correct. So I am the dessert person.
So when we're saying that you start off making dessert, how long ago are we talking?
Oh, we've been married since 1992 and basically since then.
So early on, did you have a speciality, something that you particularly liked making or were good at making?
Lemon tart.
And did that involve making both the pastry and the filling?
Or? Absolutely, yes. I refuse to buy pastry.
Interesting. A lot of people regard making pastry as very difficult. Did you find making pastry hard, or has that always been easy for you?
No, it's not hard. It's fiddly. And therefore, you need to be willing to fiddle. So I don't think it's hard, but if you're lazy, then you won't like it. It does require some effort, and there are some subtleties, and what I actually, as I uncovered the secrets, there are some little things, little tips that actually mean a lot.
Does that mean that you've never had a pastry failure?
Oh yes, I've had many pastry failures, but it's usually human error.
I see.
Yes, where I was
like
stuffed up.
Too hot or too much butter or...
Mostly things that I forget, one of my favourite pastries at the moment involves egg yolks, and occasionally I've just put the whole egg in.
Right, and egg white just doesn't really work.
It doesn't work, no. It's ordinary.
So tart then.
Yes.
Tarts have been in the last year or so?
Probably longer than that. But mostly it was done with a very, very short pastry which involves actually the secret ingredient, just between you and me and no one else, is actually custard powder.
Custard powder?
Instead of, or in complement with, normal powder. And what that makes is the pastry incredibly short.
Okay, because it must react differently with the butter or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So what it means is the pastry doesn't last that long. Normally a tart, you can put it on the shelf for 24 hours or whatever, or 48 hours. When you add the custard, it doesn't. But what it does, it just makes it incredibly thin. You can actually roll it a lot thinner.
Before it basically shatters into pieces.
Correct, exactly. Ah. But it gives it this crispiness. And then when you put lemon, the lemon filling in it, suddenly you've got this tangy bang with a thin crust, thin pastry crust. Because I think most of the problems I had with, and really why I made pastries and desserts was because I hated some of the desserts you go out with. You go out when you get these lemon tarts, and the pastry's like an inch thick, and it's stodgy, and I hated that. Whereas this was, once you put the custard powder in, was amazing. It's thin, it's crispy, and it just, all you taste is the lemon, and the pastry complements that.
So with the tarts, a lot of the ones you've been making recently have been in a long, thin tin rather than a round tin. Do you think that, or how does that change the tart that you're making?
Well, I originally did it because it's easier to cut, quite frankly, because you can just, it's an oblong, you just cut it along. But also what I found, because I actually did do a circular one and a oblong one, the oblong one cooked quicker.
Now, we had a long discussion about whether this should actually work according to physics.
Yes.
And my husband, who is slightly more sciencey than I, convinces me that it is actually physics, that makes sense.
I didn't do it on a physics basis. I just kind of like went, hey, I need to cut it this way. And when I put them together and I went, why is the circular one taking so long? Okay, well, so now I have three oblong ones.
That's a lot of tart.
Yeah, I basically grab, 250 grams of butter, and then I just make it according to that, which makes three tarts.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yes, it is very exceptionally convenient. And the thing about it is you can actually store the pastry in the fridge. So I make the pastry and I just have them there.
Yeah.
And like today, I said, oh, let's go over to Alex and James's place. Oh, let's make a tart. I just happened to pull one out of the fridge which I'd made a week ago.
This is totally sounding like Nigella. I just happen to have pastry in the fridge.
Exactly. So I have always now got pastry in the fridge.
How long does it last in the fridge?
I don't know, but I've had it there for 2 weeks and it seems to work. So
okay.
I don't know how long it's supposed to mark. Theoretically, apparently you can freeze it, but the longest I've had is 2 weeks in the fridge and it seems to be okay.
The pastry involves egg yolks and custard powder and a lot of butter. What sorts of fillings are you enjoying making at the moment?
I should distinguish. There's two pastries I make. One is the thin one, which involves custard powder.
Right.
The second one is more sugar.
Oh, I see.
Now, the one you're going to enjoy today is a cherry tart, which has got more of the sugar. And so it has sugar instead of custard powder. But anyway, so now I'm really experimenting nuts versus nuts and fruit. So today we've got almonds and cherries.
So that means almond meal, so ground almonds?
Yes, I make my own.
Oh.
So and one of the things I don't like about buying almond meal, it's totally ground. It's like a powder. Whereas I grab almonds themselves and blend them or chop
Blitz
them up.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit more chunky, and I think that makes a better tart.
Bit chewier?
Yes, exactly. Yep. So I do that. So I make the meal myself. And so I do that. So cherry and almond is the tart du jour. but the previous tart du jour was actually pistachio and strawberry.
I see.
Oh, and that is a magic one. And I have actually experimented of late, is I make the base, the pastry base, and then I put some melted chocolate.
And allow it to form like crust?
Yes, so I put the melted chocolate, throw it in the fridge for an hour, just so it come out, and it's really solid chocolate.
Wow.
And then you can...
It's like a drumstick ice cream with the chocolate on there. Oh.
Indeed.
Yum.
So I did one with the cherry previously, and unfortunately I ran out of chocolate. So,
How is that even a thing? How do you run out of chocolate?
I don't know. It just wasn't there. So when I've made yours today, there's no chocolate.
It's a nude tart.
It's no chocolate, but cherry and almonds still go well, so you can let me know whether you think it should have the chocolate in there or not.
So it's got nuts in it. What other sorts of ingredients are you putting in the filling?
Yeah, so the slurry, as I call it, which is like the mille, is basically butter. The same amount of nuts, butter and sugar. So
melted together effectively?
Yes, actually. And then you add an egg yolk, egg, and salt. And one of the really surprising things was I was very reluctant with the salt. I just, sparingly put it on, it's like a little
pinch.
And I went, the more salt I add, it brought out the flavours.
Oh, right.
So I actually am quite generous with the salt. Put it that way. So there's probably 3 or 4 pinches that go into the salt. I think as I've experimented, that's actually become more flavoursome. It's somehow, I don't really understand it, but it's brought out the nutty and the fruity flavour.
Yeah, salt's often used in that way as a flavour enhancer, I think. I think that makes sense. I mean, it's bizarre, but I think it makes sense.
I'm sure someone in the past could explain why that is the case, but I found upon it by accident.
That's pretty much what cooking's all about, isn't it? Experimentation?
Yes, like the fruits. And so I've tried things like we experimented with pear and hazelnut.
Oh, yum.
And they went sensationally together. And I kind of like just... And the only reason I used hazelnut is because I ran out of almonds. And I'm thinking, what have I got left?
Interestingly, my friend Kate, who makes jams, and you've had some of those, she makes a jam which is pear, hazelnut and cumin.
Oh, lovely.
Which is really tasty.
Nice.
So that's a very interesting combination.
I might add some cumin to my...
It just adds a really interesting note of, interest, like a piquancy that you don't quite get without... Yeah. We could probably get almost the same effect with a bit more salt, actually.
I might try that next time.
Fun. So what do you think's been the best combination so far? Or does it keep changing?
Oh, the most popular is pistachio and strawberry.
Right.
Yeah, like I get requests to make this thing again. Yeah. So when strawberries are in flavour, bang, and I put them all in. And I throw more fruit in than some other tarts that I've seen. I personally also like the blueberry one.
Oh, what nut do you put with blueberry?
Blueberry and almond, the standard. Although I did do blueberry and pine nut.
Interesting.
Because... What I found with the blueberry and pine nut is the blueberry took more of the taste.
Right.
Sometimes the nuts take over.
Yeah.
And really you taste nuts with something. Whereas with the pine nut's a bit boring. The blueberry just somehow infused the slurry and, yeah. But I added a lot of blueberries. So
that's what you meant to do with blueberry.
I think so. And it's one of my favourite little berries.
I heard a rumour that you've tried, was it creme anglaise?
Yes.
How did that go?
Actually, not bad, actually. I was quite impressed with, if I must say. It's the first time I've done that, and I whacked a lot of fruit on top. And it went really well with the sweet pastry. Remember those two pastries I talked about? It didn't work well with the custard one, but with the extra sugar one, sugar pastry, sweet pastry, it was I think, pretty special. But what I found with the anglaise, and I've done it twice now, is that put a film of Glad wrap on top of the anglaise, you put it in the fridge for an hour, and then you take it out. And what I found is I was watching the football, and so it was about an hour and a half, and I just came out, it doesn't matter. And it was chunky, and it was quite hard.
It mattered.
Yeah, it mattered.
Wow.
So you don't want
to... Is it only coming back from a chunky anglaise?
Yeah, you just have to bash it up. And,
okay.
Yeah,
so it wasn't disastrous.
No, you had to really heat it by actually chopping it up and really pushing it. It's a lot of work to get it back to something. And what I found the second time, I did 45 minutes, which was less than the hour, and that was better because it was easier to move around, place the fruit, and then whack it back in the fridge.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think less is more in terms of the anglaise.
And my final question is, what sorts of combinations do you think you'll try in the coming months? Have you got plans for different sorts of fruits or combinations that you want to try?
I've got a rhubarb plant, and I love rhubarb.
Mm.
And I've tried a couple of rhubarb dishes, and I'm not 100% satisfied. So I've got another crop of rhubarb I want to try. I'm just constantly trying to explore what goes best with rhubarb. So that's really high on my agenda because I actually like it.
Rhubarb and anglaise?
Yeah, well, there's one I haven't tried, so that could be the next one. So that's really one I want to try. But yeah, anything that it's fruit of the season, and we had mandarins that were just amazing, and I put mandarins in terms of the anglaise. Yep. They worked amazingly well.
So that means that the mandarin wasn't baked; it was just
no.
Yeah, okay.
You just put it on top, and that was really amazing, and I really thought that brought out the thing. And the other thing is trying to put a bit of orange, and I've put a bit of orange in the anglaise, things like that. So that really worked really well for mandarin. So yeah, it's just really just totally exploring and experimenting. Yeah, I have fun. I actually, if I play on the weekend, and then I just give it to my wife and she takes it to her work. So her work's actually quite getting used to getting something on a Monday morning going, oh, this is good, let's try this.
They haven't got critical yet, have they?
They send notes. So this is 9 out of 10. This is a 5 out of 10. This didn't quite make it.
People reacting badly to getting free tart? That's outrageous.
I really encourage the feedback because get a 5 out of 10, you go, well, yeah, I won't make that again. I'll try something else. But see, the chocolate one, we actually, I think it was, we tried one with yourself and you thought you could have put a bit of salt in the chocolate.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, I think.
And given I put salt in the slurry, I was quite generous with the salt, and the feedback they gave me was, whoa, too much salt, man. So, yeah.
So do you actually record how much of things you're putting in, or do you make it up every time you make the tart?
I'm afraid I make it up.
Wow.
My wife gets upset. But yeah, I'll make it up.
So you've got no record of what was a 9 out of 10?
Oh, I do. It was kind of like it was this combination. But like the salt, I kind of like, how much salt did I put in? Oh, a generous amount. I don't really know. So I need to put a less generous amount.
That could be confusing.
Yes, if people are trying to replicate it. But I would say a generous amount is 3 or 4 pinches. So I'm going to cut it back just to 1 pinch. We'll see how that goes.
Thanks for listening this fortnight. You can email any feedback to actsofkitchen@gmail.com. That's acts as in ACTS. Or you can leave a comment on the website, actsofkitchen.com. Happy cooking.